Welcome, PageCast listeners. My name is Killian Sora from Jonathan Ball Publishers, and today I am joined by Nicole Engelbrecht and Karen Doley. So welcome, ladies, to PageCast in Franschhoek. We are sitting at Smitten Cafe, surrounded by festival goers who are eating their breakfast and now moving into lunch. And so I have a few questions for you. So both of you are incredibly nice women. But who write about some very dark and illustrious parts of Southern Africa, if you will, or like true crime. I want to ask both of you, Nicole and Karen, do you know of any sort of murders that might have taken in place in Franschhoek?
As I was being... I didn't drive myself. So as I was being driven in today, I did see a few places. One place I've mentioned in all four of my books, Italian authorities at one stage announced they wanted to seize it. And then there was another name of a farm that rang a bell, and I do believe a crime occurred there. Yes.
That's scary.
Yeah. I can definitely think of a few. I think I scared last year at the festival. I think I scared one of our international writers. When we were talking about my podcast, and I said to her, everywhere I go now, I associate those places with the crimes that I've covered there. I can't help it. It just happens. So I've certainly covered a couple of crimes that have happened in Franschhoek, one very tragic one. Sean and Maritza, I believe, were the names of the victims, and they were a couple who were hijacked and murdered on the Franschhoek Pass, I believe. Many, many years ago, I believe several of those perpetrators have already been released on parole, but that one certainly springs to mind.
I think that's really haunting because you've got such a beautiful, like, surroundings and then, like, these dark moments happen. And that must be really interesting for the both of you because looking at both of your books, Karen, yours, Enforcers and A Man Alone, sort of dark people in... You know, like South Africa, Cape Town, etc. And you pass those places every day in some instances, or like moments in history, if you will, that were...
I think we pass these places all the time and we may not even be able to realize it because it's... I always say there is no underworld. The underworld is organized crime happening all around us. Probably where we're sitting right now, in organized crime, the saying, follow the money, rings true. And I mean, we are sitting in a very wealthy area. Not to say we're sitting around criminals, but just to emphasize that organized crime has no boundaries.
Mm.
So we can't cut off from it. And yeah, like as I said, as driving through here, I saw sort of things and I was like, oh yes, I forgot about that. Oh no, oh no. Sort of a straight, like, oh no.
Not
why am I doing this?
Not
teasing, but like, yeah. It is all around us.
Yeah. And the same for you, Nicole. I mean, like, that must be like really scary to have like uncovered all these like true crime murders and investigations and then to like drive through that area and go, these people, like.
Yeah, it's definitely a shift to my life, I must say. It's added a different element to my life. I see things now that I never saw before.
Mm.
You know, because I'm not a journalist. I wasn't in this industry, if you want to call it that, before. And yeah, so it's definitely added a different element to my life. But I can definitely echo what Karen says in terms of organized crime. When I started the podcast, I always said, I'm never going to cover gang crimes or organized crime or political crimes. And what I learned very, very quickly is that there's very little distinction. Many of the crimes that I've covered have involved gang elements, even if they weren't directly gang-related crimes. Many have involved elements of organized crime. You know, there really is so little separation that so-called ordinary people who don't delve into these dark spaces, they don't really understand until they start getting into.
Yeah, I'm sure it's we do have a culture in South Africa where we are a bit true crime obsessed.
Mm.
I know I am. So, but in this world of social media sleuths, how do you balance public interest and ethical responsibility? So maybe, Nicole, you can kick us off with the question.
Yeah, so that was, I think, quite an important thing for me when I started. The reason I started the podcast specifically before I even started writing books was I wanted to create a victim-centered platform for victims of violent crime in South Africa because one did not exist. And that is the why that took me through to develop the ethics that I have, that have every single time I've had a question presented to me, where I had to decide whether to cover a case, to speak to a certain person, it's always bounced back to, does this help the victim in some way? Does it advocate? Does it educate? Does it prevent future victims? So that's it. For me to be able to sleep at night when I do this, it is essential to be able to work around that strong ethical frame.
And Karen, how do you deal with as a journalist?
So I think it's important to emphasize I am a journalist. I'm not dealing with unreal situations. Yeah. These incidents are very real. People's lives are impacted. People's lives are often impacted in a terrible way. People's lives are often taken from them. So for me, social media is a platform on which we can amplify the reality. I'm fully aware that it's abused to amplify misinformation, etc. But it's not something that I actually actively consider because I know what I'm doing every day is focusing on a specific issue. Lives have been impacted, and my job and my responsibility as a person, not just as a journalist, is to convert that into digestible, factual information. And for me, social media feels very far removed from that when you look at it through the lens of it being abused. So, yeah, just always remember social media is exactly that. It's a platform. It's not reality. So, yeah. I feel that every single day when I'm working on terrible issues or interviewing people who've been through trauma beyond what I can comprehend, I keep it in mind that that is reality.
And I mean, especially in a country where we have no shortage of high stake crimes or high profile crimes. How do you decide which ones to pursue? So Karen, let's start with you.
Yeah. So let's be very realistic. Like you said, like I'm a journalist. Newsrooms are shrinking. It is incredibly difficult to prioritize one crime over another. It's really a case by case basis. It depends on what's happening in the news cycle. And I mean, every single murder is just terrible. I mean, no one has a monopoly over trauma. And sure, different people are traumatized for different reasons. But yeah, I don't think I have a nice, concise answer for you because every day and every night brings with it a different set of issues. And especially in a news cycle, we'll see gang violence peaking. Then we'll see sort of high-profile individuals shot. You sort of have to weigh it as you're moving with it. Yeah.
Nicole?
And I guess me, you know, as an independent creator, if you will, I guess I have more of the privilege of being able to choose. You know, sometimes I am guided by the families that approach me. Often I allow myself to be guided by that. But then even then, there is a set of guidelines that I look at to ensure that I'm covering a case that is not going to do, you know, especially if it's unsolved, that it's not going to do damage to a future prosecution or anything like that. But in solved cases, for the most part, I certainly have the privilege of being able to choose which voices I amplify, and I take that responsibility very seriously. A lot of the time, it's got to do with how much information is available, sadly, because, to make a podcast episode or a book, you need a good chunk of information. But I try to ensure that I'm highlighting the voices that also, I think, aren't heard the way they should be.
No, absolutely. And I think what both of you do is incredibly important for both the public, the families, the victims, and, you know, future victims, which is quite sad to say. So now we've covered the very sort of heavy stuff. I'm going to ask you a few easy questions.
This makes me anxious.
The hard ones.
These ones are fun. Okay, so Nicole, let's start with you. What's your favorite place or time of day to write, and why?
At the moment, I am very much guided by how what my routine looks like. I am lucky enough to work on lots of different projects, and really it ends up being when I can fit that writing into my schedule, or, you know, whatever else I'm scheduling the writing around. I think my brain works best in the morning, and definitely quiet, sometimes with my 19-year-old cat on my lap. but other than that, I don't, I think over the years with the podcast having to work so quickly, I've been able to sit down and get my mind into that mode. So that's helped me a lot.
Great. It's interesting. A lot of authors always tell us, like, it's morning. Morning or bust.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so Karen, if one of your book's main characters, now this one's a little bit, because yours are real, and they have to show up at your door, who would it be and why?
That is a terrifying question. Like, why are you doing this?
I know, we just want to make you feel uncomfortable. No,
so, ironically, there is a, you know, like, October, November 2024, I had the sheriff of the court outside my house on behalf of Marth Liffman, who was murdered about 2 weeks later.
Oh, my goodness.
So you asking that question actually makes me think it's going to be someone I don't necessarily want to see.
And reasons,
I don't want them to be there. But let's pretend it's a perfect world. Let's pretend, I would say, someone in my books, I would want to, you know what, actually, let me, if I were a hardcore thick-skinned journalist, which I'm secretly not, I would absolutely love for someone who was previously in South Africa and who went to another country and was arrested and served their sentence for global drug trafficking, for them to come back to South Africa, knock on my door and tell me what the hell actually happened. I would love that. But I'm not that person.
I was about to say, wow.
I was going to ask if that's so that she can call the cops because there's still a warrant of arrest out of them.
I've got many questions. I want answers. Which politician are you friends with?
So a nice cup of tea, you would invite them in.
No,
maybe not.
Tea.
Okay, something a lot more harder than tea.
No, I'm thinking like water on the soup.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. So, Nicole, what's the best piece of writing advice you ever received?
Sure. I want to say write what you know. Interestingly, write what you know stopped me writing in my 20s because I was a crime fiction hobby writer. And listen to this irony. I thought I didn't know enough about crime. Here we are 20 years later, and I certainly know a lot more about crime now. And really, my knowledge base that's been built up around crime in South Africa helps me in my work every single day. And also when I read other people's pieces, if they're trying to write about a place they've never been, for instance, some people very seldomly can be really good at that, but often it comes through immediately.
You guys have definitely made me a much better crime writer as well. All right. So, Karen, we're going to wrap up with this last question. What is a completely unrelated skill or hobby that helps your writing? Oh, you've been waiting like, for this one.
I have waited for this. If you could see my hands, right? Nothing. Jazz hands and sparkles. Oh, my word. Thank you. So I absolutely love painting. I love painting my cat. But I like painting him in historical painting settings. So I've got the Meow Nalisa. I've got Frida Meowlo.
That's amazing.
I've got Girl with a Pearl. Earring Pearl. If you go to KarenDeely.com, you will see these paintings. This is my huge actual passion.
Okay, so www.karendoley.com. You can go find the Meowna Lisa,
yes,
right?
Yes, they're called portraits, P-A-W-T-R-A-I-T-S. Portraiture is my hobby. So incredible.
Please, can we hashtag this on the socials as hashtag portraits? I do thoroughly enjoy that. You're like a very hard ass, like, you know, writing about these topics of these, like, really dark underbelly, but you're painting cats. I love that.
I am painting cats.
I love that.
I also love painting cats. I advise everyone to give it a try.
Cats are very much like the organized criminals of the cat animal world.
They
are
probably absolutely running the whole syndicate. Yeah. But thank you so much, ladies, for joining us on the Pagecast today.
Thank you.
It's been a wonderful interview. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And please keep doing what you're doing. You guys help me sleep at night in a weird sort of
that's disturbing. Are you okay?
I'm a true crime enthusiast, so like
I get it. Lost, don't worry, so. Yeah.
But thank you so much, and I really really hope you enjoy the festival, and good luck for all your panels.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having us.